Hello, people. It is an early Monday morning right now as I record this intro, and I almost didn't have an episode to release this week, not because of the two-week hiatus due to all the work travel that we talk about in the episode, but because I went to click on the folder that contained all of our episodes and all our materials, and it said there's no files here. There's this location is unavailable. In essence, all my files were gone for the podcast. And I don't know what happened, but I panicked. I didn't tell anybody about it because I was blind rage. I was afraid I was going to cuss a lot. And then this morning I just said, well, let me try something else. And by no means do I have any real technical computer skill, just I'm more than the average person at working computer knowledge. So I happened to find them all, and I put them back in a folder where they were supposed to be. Don't know what happened. I do know that because of that, though, we have a new episode. So this episode was just the Badger and I, and as I mentioned just a second ago, we definitely had a big long break. It was unplanned, but that's how work works sometimes. Work works sometimes, I guess that makes sense. But regardless, the episode's here, and a couple of real big shout-outs or real things I wanted to mention before the episode starts is, one, I just met a gentleman over the weekend named Ben, who has his own podcast. He's an attorney, and his podcast is called A Lawyer's Guide to the Galaxy. I just listened to a couple of episodes. It's kind of fun because they're big pop culture fans like us, but they're also way more specialized educated than us in terms of, like, their attorneys. And, the name is a play on Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, so give it a shout. That's A Lawyer's Guide to the Galaxy. You can find it pretty easy wherever all fine podcasts can be found, and I'll link it in the description. And, of course, the other shout out is our boys and sponsors at the Beer Sauce Shop, 318 Mid Rivers Mall Drive in St. Peter's, Missouri. You go there and get all your best craft beers, all the greatest rubs and barbecue sauces, and all of the local flavor that you want, even Big Green Eggs and things of that nature. So, definitely worth checking out. A lot of good bourbon selection, too, which makes me happy. In fact, I have a very good bottle of bourbon. I say good because it was not cheap. Haven't opened. Been waiting for a special occasion. Maybe tonight, in celebration of finding all the files for the podcast, might be that celebration. So, again, I apologize for the long intro. You're about to hear the bomb, and after that bomb will be the Badger and me coming right at you with episode 178. So, thanks.
But here's the thing, quick question with Penn Station. And we can start recording if you want to.
I am.
Penn Station, do you get different things there, or do you always get the same thing?
I always get the same thing.
Everyone I talk to about Penn Station says it's good, but everyone I talk to about Penn Station says they always get the same thing.
I really like the sandwich I get.
Which one do you get?
The Italian.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I love it.
Because, like, you get the Italian. Kelly always gets the chicken teriyaki. I always get the Philly.
Let me rephrase it. I just changed my mind. I alternate between Italian and Philly. But the
there's the exceptions to the rule.
So the Philly is my norm.
Okay.
But they do the sandwich of the month.
Okay.
And it always just cycles through. So if the Italian's a sandwich of the month, I will get it then. They used to be a Penn Station really close to where I worked.
Okay.
And we would eat it like five times a month.
Solid.
So if it was the Italian, that's what I was eating that month. If it was the Philly, that's what I was eating. So
I like it.
Yeah. And I even found myself, if it was a sandwich I didn't want, I would just get like Emo's, the lunch special.
Oh, which was
like $9 for a salad, a cookie, and a pizza, personal pizza.
And a drink too, right?
Oh yeah, and a soda.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah, so that's
one topping.
That's how we rolled back in the day.
Back in the comic book
back days? That was when I was at a building products in Granite City.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Yeah. I believe I was still working there when this podcast started.
Hmm.
Yeah. So we've spanned a long life. 3 years, yes, 4 years, whatever it's been. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time to rock and roll all the way to the middle.
All right. Let's get going. Let's go. Not a great beer, by the way.
Which one is that?
Step Dude.
Just thought it was okay.
It says it's American lager, but it really kind of has a hint of sour in it. And not in the way that I would want ever to have a hint of sour in my beer.
Mother's is the Schlafly of Springfield. They do everything good, but nothing great.
Wow, yeah. And with that, we are back. After taking a shot of Mother's, we're back. Actually, I wasn't a shot. I mean, being the Schlafly of anywhere is a good compliment.
Hey, I do a lot of business down in Springfield, and every time I go there, I try to stop by Mother's.
Mother's does good variants on MILF. Or it's not. I'm sorry. It's not. It's, what is it? Matters Familias. It used to be called MILF. But they've PC'd the hashtag MeToo world has changed that.
Yes, I heard about that.
So they do good variations on that, like some barrel age and stuff, and it's very good. Like, but it's you know, it's usually in the 750s, and that's it.
So my cousin, friend of the show, not a big deal. He says that Springfield, all it has really is car dealerships, and then like car part stores, and then Brown Derbies.
That is insane. Springfield has grown into a pretty awesome town. And it started taking that turn when I lived there. There was some cool stuff to do. But downtown Springfield has a lot going on. And there's a lot of good food. It's a good foodie. It's like a foodie city shrunk to a large town or small city.
I have found that when my customers take me out, they take me to some pretty good spots.
Yeah, there's good ones
around.
Shout
out to Dietz and Trent. I'm not sure if you listen, but you at least heard of the show now.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not going to tag them. Because I'm not friends with them. And, and if they don't follow the page, you can't tag them.
They are not friends of the page.
Well, that's
shout friends out. In real life is more important than Facebook friends, right?
It's hard to tell these days. I was going to say it fell on deaf ears, but yeah, that's hard to tell. You know what? Since I already said we are back, I guess we could say that it's just we, as in right across from me, the Silver Badger.
What's up, party people?
Sitting in an unfamiliar spot.
I'm in the Bender spot, so I guess I have to interrupt you about 10 times.
Well, it's even weirder. You're halfway between the Bender spot and the flop spot. The flop spot. That's a hashtag, right? The flop spot.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I had a lot of jokes about finding the flop spot later, but...
hey, now.
Yeah, so you either get to interrupt me or interrupt yourself halfway between the two of them. It's going to be weird.
I'll go on wild political tangents that make no sense.
Well, and then, of course, the other voice you hear would be my own, and it's just us two. And the number two is significant because we've been on a two-week hiatus, which is why I thought, you know what? We're coming back. I'm going to mix things up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the opportunity. I only put up two mics because I knew there was only two of us today. And I'm going to make it and see if you sitting on a different side of the bar offers a different point of view on the podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Wouldn't it be amazing if that's all it took? We solved our entire political world right now. Okay, everybody on the left, stand up. Walk over to the right side of the room. Everybody on the right, stand up. Walk to the left, sit down. Problem solved.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that easy, though.
Judging by this gun debate right now, definitely not that easy.
I know. It's exhausting.
It really is.
I had a friend on the Facebooks who had a friend that he posted something that I agree with about it. And then the friend goes, well, I'll tell you what. After this happened, I stayed up all night screaming obscenities at my guns, and they didn't do a thing to me. So I guess guns really aren't that dangerous. I'm like, oh, boy. Well, are exhausting.
What's so crazy is we've gone from a country that rallies together when there's tragedy to immediately hitting our political points, whether side of the aisle you come down.
100%.
It's just sad. There's no empathy for people anymore.
9/11 was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't even think a 9/11 would unite us at this point in time.
No, it would definitely be one side blaming immigrants or white nationalists, depending on who actually did the bombing. And the other one, God, I don't know what they would argue.
I have to stop you there. We're not going to get too political. I do have sort of a political thing to bring up here in a little bit, but I have to correct one thing you said. There is no such thing as white nationalists in this world. Sean Hannity said so last night.
Oh, of course.
On air said they like to let you think that there's a white nationalist problem, but there's not. It's made up. You could take all the neo-Nazis and white nationalists and combine them, and they wouldn't fit into a football arena. And so there's no problem.
That's a good question. So football stadium or football arena?
Either one. Well, I don't know what he said, but what he's trying to say is it's such a small, insignificant amount of people that it's really no problem, and they're not organized, and they don't really cause any damage. Interesting. Bold.
That is the hottest of hot takes.
Of all the dumb things that guy says.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did bring up, though, I did have one thing. You were talking about you know, how people are blaming each other, and we're such a sensitive thing. So I brought up, I did get a kick out of, I don't know if you saw the video. In fact, I thought the video was fake, so I had to go and I immediately searched to see if it was Snopes.
Okay.
But the Democratic Socialists of America, this convention.
Okay.
Did you see this?
I've heard a little bit about it, so go on.
So a couple days ago, or over the weekend, they had their convention, and Oh boy. So a couple of phrases. Point of personal privilege. That's the way people try to chime in instead of raising their hand. Let's say point of personal privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Oh boy.
Level in the crowd, so some members of the crowd stood up and said, "I'm prone to sensory overload, so can you please stop chattering? Please stop clapping." They went to the the way a deaf person gets cheered for.
Basically, Jeremy's doing jazz hands for those of you not paying attention.
Went to that. Also, one of the women aggressed, said, "Guys, we got to keep it down." And somebody stood up immediately and said, "Point of personal privilege. I don't like the gender language."
Oh Jesus!
Every time someone stood up to talk, they'd say, Silver Badger, St. Louis, Missouri, him, her pronouns, or he, him is my pronouns. And and let me think, there was one more that was really awesome that I really, really loved. I forgot to write it down. But so this is the Democratic Socialist Convention, whatever it is. I don't even know what they were trying to accomplish, but I know they were to get together, and it immediately fell off the rails. Because there was so much oversensitivity and so much, so that, you know, it was being streamed live on CNN, you know, how they do, or C-SPAN or whoever and it was like 35 minutes of people complaining about stuff that's going on, about chatter, people talking about how, so here's the thing. If you have a political group and you want to make a point, if you're this fucking sensitive about things, you're dead, man. You're dead in the water.
Yeah.
Like, like I said, I think maybe the best podium to stand on is the one we stand on right in the middle. Might be also the worst because it makes us look indecisive because everybody seems to be really picking sides lately.
Right.
But if you're opposing the far right and your whole agenda is to beat the far right, this ain't the group of soldiers you want going into battle for.
No, no, sir.
It was, and I also happened to hear a podcast. Some stand-up comic said something because they were talking about the world of comedy right now.
Right.
And he said something great, and I thought it was awesome. He said, "Politically correctness is like the emperor's new clothes. It only exists if you believe in it." And I was like, watching a group like this, it's like, everybody, so instantly, all of the people I know that are on the right, they were like, "Oh, look at this is the problem with America. Look at these, you know, just fucking babies. You should get them a bottle." And all, okay, yes, these people suck. They suck. There's
right,
no way
absolutely.
Around it. The problem is, and there's another good thing I heard. It came out. You know, it's been, I think it's swirled around forever, but you know, 2% of the world makes up 80% of the tweets.
Yes, I've seen that.
So we see this stuff, and all we're seeing is that. So there was, let's say there was 400 people in the room. There might not be more than 400 people that are that sensitive. But the reason these people banded together because they are like-minded, like-feeling people, and whether they felt safe or whether they felt like it was the place to go to complain, you get groups of people like that together, and then, of course, our news and our outlets and our media shines lights on it, and they amplify it, and it makes idiots, whether you're on the right or left, post things like, "Well, this is the problem with America." No, it's not. It's the problem with those 400 people. That right. is not America's problem.
Sure.
That is, those. I'm telling you whose problem it is, friends and family of those people. It's their problem, because they have to deal with that shit on a regular basis.
Yes. I mean, I think it's fair to say that, does America even have a problem? Or do we just think it has a problem due to the fact that news media is trying to make money by making us divisive?
That's where I was. It's awesome that you said that, because that's where my whole rant on this thing was going to go. I am now, I think, with my travels, and I'll get into that in a little bit. I'm not going to give you a breakdown of where I went, of reviews of things I did. But during my travels, I've had a lot of time to think, because I did a lot of driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? The whole politically correctness, the whole left-right thing, I'm kind of over all of it, and I'm kind of thinking people should just be allowed, I don't think allowed to do whatever they want to do, but definitely have beliefs that they want to believe. As long as that belief doesn't infringe on another person, then 100% go for it. And what made me think of all of it is listening to a podcast where a comedian was talking about, they were talking about somebody, another comedian was like, "Well, this is the state of the world, you can't say this." And he goes, "Well, that's not really true."
Yeah.
If that were true, comedy shows wouldn't be experiencing an all-time high in attendance and sales, and comedians and podcasts wouldn't be getting so popular, because people need to go hear insane stuff, offensive stuff. We always have. And it's super loud minorities, and we're talking extreme minorities when you're talking about Antifa or neo-Nazis.
Sure.
Extreme minorities. Like, and I don't, my minorities, I hope people know that I don't mean color of skin.
Right.
I mean belief systems. They just make so much noise. And like you said, the media shines so much light on it. I'm almost to the point, even on our podcast, you know, we've never really censored ourselves, but sometimes if something's offensive, I know we've leaned away from it. Fuck it. I mean, fuck it. The world needs some offensive behavior. I'm not saying Louis C.K. needs to be brought back immediately.
Right.
But I'm saying masturbation and using his stature aside, of taking advantage of women aside, we need a voice like his. We need people like that, Joey Diaz, guys that are just off the rails. Because they keep us in check.
Right.
They allow you to shine a light on the absurdity, which is in abundance right now.
Yeah. It's just so hard for these comedians to become mainstream and do that because they're, you know, sponsors and corporations, the people that pay them money in one way or another, are so scared that they're going to get blackballed. But the other thing is, blackballs don't really work. Like,
don't work anymore.
They just don't.
There was
Chick-fil-A is a perfect example.
Different podcast altogether, but somebody brought up, what's his name? Arlie Ermey? Armie Hammer, sorry. Two mm-hmm. different people. Similar mm-hmm. sounding name. Armie Hammer, you know, kind of young, hot Hollywood.
Yeah.
Somebody brought him up. He is a bona fide superstar. He had some video with his 2-year-old sucking on his toe, and he put it up there, and people instantly got offended. I think because the sucking of toes is so fetishized, people took it to a sexual place. That's their problem.
That's weird.
It's weird. It definitely shouldn't have been up there, but yeah. there's nothing like no cause to call family services.
That's just more like Tim and Eric weird, not like call family services.
Right. So Armie Hammer, the guy's got 1.4, 1.5 million followers on Twitter. Celebrity. Massive celebrity. Chris D'Elia, stand-up comic, failed sitcom, has 2 million. So you can't blackball them because they're getting out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, these guys, and because of podcasts and because they're getting more money from, because, like, in the music industry, stand-up comics the same way, they're getting a lot more money from shows because people need to fill venues, so they need to pay them that way, and since that's a better source of income. So these guys have these commercials, which is podcasts or other people's podcasts, or YouTube, and now Netflix. They're getting all this money. I mean, blackball away. I think the best thing that would happen for someone's career, blackball them.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I hope somebody blackballs us.
That'd be great. What happened to that Twitter handle that used to hate on us? Bring that back. Rapcast sucks.
I think I threw a curveball at them by changing our name to PC Bombcast.
I still think it was an inside job by Bender.
I don't think so.
I'm just kidding.
I have a friend named Ben. He was I haven't talked to him in a long time. He was a very good friend. In fact, he was such a good friend, it sucks how we drifted apart. And it was probably more my fault because I went through that big change. And,
oh, shit, this is getting deep.
No, because when my mom died and I moved.
It's getting really deep now.
But Ben was a guy that he was quick to write a friend off. So if he felt like a friend was wronging him, he'd write you off. And that's the kind of humor that he would find funny. So I'm still convinced.
That was him?
That he did it.
Wow, okay.
And if it didn't, I think it was Hal Pal pulling the best Ben clone job of all time. I just believe it. I truly believe it.
I noticed they stopped when I joined, so they must like me, I guess. I don't know.
No, I'm telling you, it was the name change.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, which, you know, and shame on them for two reasons. One, they got too bored of hating on us, which maybe that's more a reflection of us. Or two, the deception of changing the name was too much for them to handle. They couldn't come up with a change to it. And they had our original logo, so they couldn't, like, take our bomb and do something funny.
Right.
Clearly their Photoshop skills were not off the charts. So, but I do miss them.
Yeah.
I do miss them. Because their insults, I mean, they had a clever Jeff Goldblum thing. But
there's a couple
that,
things going.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm down with that. So, anyway, we talked about, well, there's two things I want to cover. One, we talked about not being here for the last couple weeks. We gave you a hard time for the previous 4 weeks before because you've been so busy.
Right.
But in the last 2 weeks, I've had a Midwest sales meeting at Lake of the Ozarks that was 4 days long. And then last week, I had my official, we'll call it orientation, with my company. It was overdue, but that was Monday through Friday. All right, I came back late Thursday night.
Sure.
All that travel, and I drove to Nashville, and I drove to Lake of the Ozarks, obviously, but all that travel has been exhausting.
It wears on you.
It does. And I did not feel like it wasn't it since our last episode we did was on remote. Literally, when in between, I thought, well, maybe we could do the podcast. And I looked at the equipment laying down. I was like, I'm going to take a nap instead. So that's what happened.
You're having flashbacks from the last time the four of us were down here.
Oh, it was awful. it was a nightmare. So well, the other thing I want to touch on is Missy's not down here. She's a little tired today. Today's her only office day. So she has to wake up a little early because it's in Clayton. And so that's a traffic jaunt.
Sure.
And she also has a sore jaw because, we play grown-up volleyball. And last night on a play, it's just happened to her twice by the same guy, super sweetheart of guy, good friend of ours named Tim. He kind of collided with her, and I don't know if it was her shoulder or what. Hit her in the jaw. And there's a chance it's dislocated.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
maybe. But I think it popped right back in because she's able to move it. And if it stayed out, she would be in more pain.
Yeah.
But I told her on the way home, and I told this to Tim at the time. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, man, don't be sorry. I said, between you and me, if it ever comes up to where I'm in the same situation with her, I may raise my elbow just to get my one. This is the one chance that's my time to just really sock her one. Not that we advocate beating women on here.
No.
But if you're going to get away with a free one, maybe you take it in that scenario.
If you're going to do it, you might as well make it count. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest
and
here.
And to where I'm like, oh, I didn't know you were, I didn't hear you call for the ball. My fault, and then make it up to her. But in the back of, in between, if it ever happens, just know I planned it.
All right.
Caught in the middle moment. Didn't plan, it wasn't premeditated, but caught in the moment, I'm going to think, here we go.
I'll make sure to remember that when I'm put on the stand by Scott Rosenblum.
Because she knocked her head off. Yeah. Oh, Missy's dead. Well, yeah. So much for grown-up volleyball.
Keith Morrison is interviewing me. What about the time that Jeremy talked about knocking his wife out on the podcast? Hey.
Flatlined. Knocked her cold.
Could actually help our podcast listeners we've got on Dateline.
Those true crime podcasts are pretty popular.
They are.
My wife watches a lot of that Dateline.
I have a hard time finishing them, though, for some reason, whenever I just start one. I don't know why.
She watches it as background noise, but I've got a theory about it. The reason she knows so much about them is because if it's on Dateline, there's a good chance there's like a Discovery Channel documentary, and there's all, Court TV's got one on it.
Sure.
So she'll watch three or four different documentaries on the same crime and just kind of put them on as she's working and just absorb all the information by getting parts and pieces of each one of them. So she's an expert on them.
So now that you're traveling a lot on the road, have you been picking up any new podcasts or podcasts you recommend to our listeners that are quite better than ours?
No. And that's assuming a lot about our listeners that they're better than us. I mean, if they're listening to our show, can they really be that much better than us? Right. No disrespect to any of you out there. But you do follow a fledgling podcast, or middling. We'll call it middling. Give ourselves a little bit of credit.
Yeah, we have a sponsor.
We do. In fact, we're overdue in rating the beer of the month 6-packs or 12-packs or 8-packs, whatever it is. But
I cannot do that tonight.
No. We're low key. In fact, the reason I haven't listened to a lot of extra podcasts because what I found myself doing of late, and I'm not going to travel this much. I mean, I'll always travel overnight here or there in
sure,
the month.
Sure, yeah.
But, four nights in 2 weeks. I mean, well, essentially 8 days out of the 2 weeks, mm-hmm. Business days. That's just too much. But I found myself, most of the time, a lot of phone calls here and there, which take up those time. But the other thing is just the few days before, I don't listen to my podcast because I know I'm saving them for the travel.
Okay.
So I'm just stockpiling the ones I like in order to travel. But I will say this, I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm very excited tomorrow. I'm going to be on the road tomorrow for a good while.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit that Bernie Sanders on Joe Rogan podcast.
Just saw that drop today, yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
I actually I've been listening to two podcasts lately.
Just two? Three, counting us.
Yeah. Well, I haven't recorded in a while. Well, no, I mean, I listen to more than that, but the two that I've been really liking a lot is the Barstool Sports, which obviously has its infamy.
Yeah, I mean, they're very polarizing.
Yes.
But that's not to say that everybody that works at Barstool Sports sucks.
Right.
But just the main guy's kind of a douche.
Dave Hanoi is a little bit of a douche.
And
but
he's a Sean Hannity guy.
Oh, is he really?
He's a Fox News guy, big time. He's on there all the time. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Tucker Carlson.
Oh,
he's
okay.
A Tucker Carlson
Well,
guy.
Did you see his I follow him on Twitter. And he does the pizza reviews?
Yes.
Did you see his last pizza review?
I didn't.
He walks out of a place, and he's got the Stone Cold 316 leather jacket, and, like, Stone Cold is there with him to promote his new show in USA.
Yeah.
And he's about to eat a slice of the pizza, looks off camera, They threw him two Steve Weisers. He grabs them both, but then when he tries to do the, like, the clap him, he drops him.
Oh,
and Austin's just, like, shaking his head. And then he gets out, he's like, I was so nervous to make sure I grabbed the two beers. That was the hard part.
Yeah.
And then I fucked up the easy part. But anyway, they're hockey podcast. And they're so big now, just like Bleacher Report.
They're the Bleacher Report now.
Yeah, they have a podcast for everything. But their hockey podcast is called Spittin' Chicklets. And it's
a fun name.
It is a fun name, and it's just a regular a couple guys and then two former NHL players that are both pretty funny guys. And they talk half hockey and then half kind of whatever, pop culture.
Yeah, yeah, that. Yeah.
Well, today they dropped their interview with Sidney Crosby, who's kind of very private, very elusive, but pretty.
He's the Mike Trout of hockey. He doesn't do a lot of interviews.
Yeah, he's just a very private person, and
good for him for it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but you have to be incredibly good though to make that work.
Absolutely.
Derek Jeter was that way.
Well, he did tell a great. I think Sidney might have been. He's might have been married for a while, but anyway, he told a story today that had me fucking rolling in stitches. So, as some people know who like hockey, Sidney Crosby in his rookie year, he lived with Mario Lemieux.
Yeah.
Well, Mario Lemieux is still playing the Penguins.
Good person to live with.
And Mario Lemieux married 4 kids, and they suggested to Sidney, like, to kind of, like, show some adulthood that he needed to get a puppy. Just show him some responsibility. So he's like,
Very high school thing before you can get this car or even before you should have a baby. Yeah, Let's see what you do this puppy.
Yeah, so he's like, all right. And he's like, and, you know, the dog is still with me today, and I love Sam. But when he was a puppy, I came home one day. And the house smelled like shit.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. It's probably my fucking dog. He's like, you know, shit somewhere. So he goes in his room. Shit's not in there. Can't find the dog. So then he goes into the kitchen. And there he is, the greatest or second greatest player of all time, cleaning up Sidney Crosby's puppy's dog shit all over his kitchen floor.
Mario Lemieux. Clean up dog shit. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. That was a pretty good story.
That is a good story.
And then listening to, we've alluded to this on the show before, at least I have, J.D. Rasner and the crew from Yacht Rock, who, you know, kind of worked with Dan Harmon and...
Channel 101 guys.
Yeah. And they do their Yacht Rock podcast, where they just listen to 4 or 5 songs and say that they're yacht or nyet. And I just like the camaraderie of the guys just bullshitting and talking about Doobie Brothers and shit like that, so...
Hey, that not Yacht Rock, but I took the girls today. Did a little bit of a early hooky day because it was Caitlin's, my oldest daughter's, orientation for high school.
Ooh,
I know.
How's that feeling?
Scary, yeah. Scary, not fun. The next big step is driving.
That could be a sponsor, Caitlin's babysitting service.
Yeah, that's right.
And, this guy, the Silver Badger, highly recommends her.
Yeah, she's got the Tim, the guy I talked about that beat up my wife. She's doing good.
The baby badgers liked her.
Yeah, that's a big deal. She was most worried about your kids too, because she's never seen them without you guys, and she was a little stressed. She said they were great.
Yeah.
So after that, I took her, a friend, and Hayden, and we finally went and saw Spider-Man. Which, Far From Home, which was great.
Yeah.
Very good movie. Very, I highly recommend it. Maybe the best live-action Spider-Man ever. Probably just step below Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay. And so, better than Bender's Spider-Man 2?
I think so. I think it was really amazing. Really, really good. Jake Gyllenhaal, very good bad guy in it. Spoiler alert, you find that out 30 minutes into the movie.
What's Jake Gyllenhaal's best role?
Boy, I tell you what, that Night Stalker one or whatever where he was...
I heard that's good. I need to check that out.
It's very good. Night Works or Night Crew or whatever it is. Night Shift. Hey, whatever. It's a great movie. He's a good actor.
He absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
Hey,
I think Brokeback Mountain is a movie.
Yeah.
Probably overrated, but... You can't knock him and Heath Ledger's acting that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a wonderfully acted movie.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some issues with it, but yeah. I mean, and then I've never seen North Dallas 40 Club or whatever it is, but apparently he's fantastic in that, too. Did he win an Oscar for that one?
Which one? Dallas 40
Club. The one where Matthew McConaughey is, like, selling drugs on the cheap.
Was he in that?
I thought he played like the tranny prostitute.
No, that's the Joker, the bad Jared Leto.
Really?
Yes. And he did win an Oscar for that. Both of them won an Oscar.
I get those two mixed up, because didn't Jake Gyllenhaal also play Joker?
No, not
Jared
at all.
Jared Leto did.
Yeah.
But then who's playing Joker coming up? It's Joaquin Phoenix. Yep. See, there's too many weird fucking guys.
Heath Ledger, Jake Gyllenhaal's buddy.
Yeah.
Butt buddy, so to
speak. Stand down.
Anyway, so what I was going to say, though, is I saw the trailer for that Springsteen-inspired movie, Born to Run, again. Man, that thing looks good.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Hey, speaking of movies, I saw a movie in the theater.
What'd you go see?
Rise of Kenya!
And was it worth it?
It's fine. My mom really wanted to take Johnny Bananas,
yeah.
So the three of us went. I missed the Mufasa death scene.
Yeah.
That was obviously the scene I was most worried about because yeah. You know, my soon-to-be 5-year-old doesn't really understand death. But like right as that scene's about to come,
poop,
go
poop. Yeah. All right, yeah. All right. Saved by the shit.
Yeah, it is a.
I've heard mixed reviews on it. I've heard people say it's amazing. I heard people say it's like animals that creepily talk. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like,
I would give it, what are we doing, 5 or 6 stars?
We do 5, dude. You know the rule.
I'm going to ask that for the end of time. A solid 2.5.
Okay, right in the middle. That's an average film.
Yeah.
Well, good for
it. So when can jump right into when it comes out on Disney Plus for $12.99?
I got that on here to talk about.
Definitely check it out on Disney Plus. It's if that's one of your jams.
I'm going to officially cut the cord in December.
Like, okay.
We're going to go straight cable only and then straight streaming. We're going to go Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, and Netflix, and that's it.
Okay.
Because that Disney Plus deal that you just mentioned, it's you get Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu for $12.99. You have everything you need for $12.99.
Except what in St. Louis?
Except what?
There would be one thing you wouldn't have.
What's that?
Fox Sports Midwest.
Yeah, we could probably get one of those minor streaming things, whether it be PlayStation View or
that's what we
whatever.
Have, and I'm happy. But I'm gonna get the Disney Plus.
The Disney Plus one, it looks. I mean, that's a we allude. We were wondering what they would do.
Yeah.
Well, they're hitting the grand slams. What they're doing?
I think so. It just kind of it'd be interesting to see what the ESPN Plus will entail. Will it be?
So they have UFC.
They do, and they have. But will the ESPN Plus have ESPN, ESPN2, all that stuff? It doesn't sound like it right now.
I don't think it's all of that, but you still get bonus content. Plus, you get the Ocho.
Yeah, but I mean,
but and you can't watch a UFC pay per view without ESPN Plus anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a weird deal. So,
I think the price point's fair. If I had my choice on it, honestly, I'd probably rather just pay $7.99 just for the Disney Plus portion. But I already paid for ESPN Plus because I got it for the Road to the Stanley Cup documentary, which was really good.
There's also, I would like to watch that LA Galaxy thing, that or not LA Galaxy, the other LA team, LAFC or whatever they are. They had their first year of existence
there,
so I'd like to see that.
You can get the St. Louis FC games on there.
Oh, yeah, that's even cool, too.
That's pretty cool, too. Yeah. So, yeah. Hulu, now besides The Handmaid's Tale, what's on Hulu that people
Hulu,
buzz about?
Hulu gets next day NBC.
Okay.
Which, I mean, that's a big deal. If you don't have the channel,
yeah, that's
you
true.
Don't have a satellite, you get next day.
I mean, and this is not an original point. I stole this pretty much verbatim from Clay Travis, but you know, 5 years from now, it's just going to be propping up regular cable, news and sports. That's it. Entertainment, people do not mind waiting a day or two.
There'll be no regular cable. It'll all be streaming. And it's all going to go back to being very expensive. If you want to get everything you want, you're going to have to pay a monthly service. And it's all you're going to go back to the same $160 a month bill because of cable and your services. That's why I haven't cut the cord yet. Everybody that says cutting the cord is the best thing ever. If you have kids that like to watch some live TV and you have a wife that like and you that like to watch some TV, then it's not any cheaper because you have to buy so many different things to make up for that void of that one thing. At least this point in life, that cable or that DirecTV is sole source streaming for us. You know what I mean? It's we don't have to go 5 different $20 fees to get it.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I don't have access to is the Viacom channels, which are Nickelodeon, Nick Jr., the MTV, which we've talked about in episodes past with the challenge and stuff like that, and Comedy Central. But I got over it fairly quickly. And Nickelodeon, you know, they have a Nickelodeon app now where my kids can watch 4 to 6 episodes of Paw Patrol or what the fuck else is on Nickelodeon? I think Guppy...
I don't know. My kids are
luckily past
SpongeBob.
That's it.
I mean, SpongeBob's their anchor.
Yeah, my kids aren't quite there yet, but I mean,
it's a good time though. I mean, if your kids are gonna watch a cartoon, if it's SpongeBob, it's not a bad deal for you.
Well, right now my kids are starting to get into Batman, and I could not be more excited.
Oh, that's exciting! Which one are you watching?
They are watching really crappy Lego Batman on Netflix. Like, not the movie with Will Arnett, but like
there were some little shorts deals, or whatever.
They just like watching that. I'm trying.
Still not bad.
What is Batman the Animated Series on? Is that on Hulu?
I don't know, but it's the greatest cartoon ever made.
I really want to watch that with them.
Batman Beyond, pretty good one, also.
Yeah. So they're just starting to get into superheroes. It's very cute. I'm really fucking tired of playing Lego Batman with Johnny Bananas. But yeah.
Get Marvel. Get the Avenger one. Like I told you, the good thing about it is once you beat the game, it becomes an open world sandbox in New York.
Well, here's the problem. So they have – well, first off, I have an Xbox 360, which is, you know, ancient.
Oh, that's true.
And they've scratched up the game. And my son has got a little OCD where, like, he is now beating levels by himself, and he's going to be 5 on Saturday, which is pretty impressive.
He's a prodigy.
Maybe.
He's like the Rain Man of Xbox 360.
I think he can read now, too, which is weird.
What?
Yeah.
That is good.
Oh, everything's very positive. I just don't want to blow smoke. I mean,
he's really leaning into that what you thought was Asperger's at one point. Because he's getting really smart.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a birthday card today, and he was like kind of reading it. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
He goes, what's it mean? I hope the candles and flame doesn't give you anxiety. I was like, what's that mean, Dad? How'd you learn the word anxiety? Fuck!
What'd you do today? Did you watch YouTube? No, Daddy, but as the hourglass...
These are the days of our lives.
Jesus.
Hello? He goes, I heard a lot about this Harry Potter, so I read the first book. I found it a bit contrite.
I'm glad he's finally getting into superheroes. That's a plus.
Speaking of superheroes and streaming, we started it, and then it went out of town, and then we finished it. The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Yes, I've heard great things.
Very good. And I will say this.
Have you finished season 1?
We're done with season 1, and I'm going to throw this out there. This is massive hyperbole, which I am prone to do.
You have been prone to do.
It is the best show that I think about comic books that I've ever seen that has changed so much, and it still worked really well. Not to spoil it for you, but in the comic, inject themselves with something that gives them pretty, not over-the-top superpowers, but enough to where you could believably combat superheroes. When the show, they don't. It's just they have to try to figure out how to take each of them down when they comes to it. Which works very well on TV because they figure, you know, there's stumbling blocks. They figure it out as they go.
Yeah.
They change the...
So the premise is superheroes are around and they're dicks?
Yeah, superheroes are around and for the most part they're dicks because they go relatively unchecked. And group of clandestine paramilitary, CIA, something, a next level secretive government thing that's there just to keep them in check. You learn as the show goes, and it's not a spoiler... They're trying to get back to being a government agency, and the subplot is, or the main plot is, the Supes, the Vought company, which is pretty big in the comic too. It's why there is superheroes. They're trying to angle to get a government contract to allow Supes in the military, thus replacing Lockheed Martin and Boeing, all these people, and getting the largest government contract ever. And they're a little nefarious on how they do it. There's like super drugs and stuff, and it's. The cast is believable. Carl Urban is great. It is Frank Quaid. Dennis Quaid and Melanie Griffith's son is Huey.
Huh.
And what I also enjoyed is that in the comic book, the character of Huey is clearly Simon Pegg in the comic book. That's how they drew him. So Simon Pegg's a little old to play that part. So instead of being Huey, he's Huey's dad, Simon Pegg.
That's cool.
Yeah, very good little... That's the creator saying, hey... We're honoring the comic book a little
bit.
There
you go.
There's some full frontal nudity, both side or both genders. There is a lot of gore. There's the right amount of gore, but like I said, and the main climax of this season is so different than the comic book. It would be enough to irritate a person if it wasn't so fucking good. If the main climax just didn't make so much sense.
Well, it is second off the show I'm watching right now for the first time that I know you have been a big proponent of. I have started Silicon Valley.
Oh yeah, I liked it.
I've been enjoying it.
I will admit I haven't watched past the. I've only seen all the TJ Miller episodes.
Okay.
After so he left the show,
season five. Okay.
Yeah, we just. I mean, we'll get to it eventually. But
I'm halfway through season two. I'm enjoying it.
I know there's been. We've probably talked about it on the show, but I know it was like kind of the episode that really put him over the top. But how hard did you laugh on the masturbation equations?
Oh yeah,
that is the funniest. And they brought in real MIT students to help figure out the equation to make it work.
Yeah,
that was a 10-minute scene that just had me doubled over. Like they're really figuring this out.
Unless you had four dicks in there,
You'd have to line them up end to end, or size to size, and you could conceivably do it.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, there was a big. Much ado about how that's a really is a geek show as opposed to the faux geekery of Big Bang Theory, because you know geeks are prone to hate on things too. So
hate is gonna hate.
Yeah, but it really is. I mean, they really brought in experts to make sure all the shit they talked about is viable.
That's good.
And that maybe that's why it works so good.
It's got good acting. I mean, I guess TJ Miller is a complete douchebag of a human being in real life, but may or may not have written off the show. I guess, but
yeah.
I have a big crush on that Monica, though. Whew, she's a cutie.
She is. She was also in the movie. What was the movie? It had James Marsden in it. It was a road trip comedy.
Oh, those are always a delight.
It was a very underrated one. In fact, it may have what I consider the greatest uncensored version. You know how you used to get those DVDs where it'd be like the totally uncensored, unrated Van Wilder, but which the only thing was the screen, the selection screen was new, but Sex Drive, I think that was it. Sex Drive.
Okay, not bad.
A very good movie. Very good movie. Very underrated. But the unrated version of it, though, randomly...
She took her top off?
No, the director would randomly green screen in dudes with, like, 9-inch dongs walking by in the background. And, like, there was a scene where they're running through this cornfield. And there is nudity in the movie. It's already a raunchy movie. But the character, he slept with this dude's wife, and the dude's chasing him through a cornfield, and there's all these close-up scenes, and it cuts to like some black porn star's dong flopper. I mean, like a bunch of it, and they don't mention any of it. Like,
it's like throwing it in.
And he even says, like, I watched the unrated version first, and he even comes out before, and he goes, if you've not watched the movie, please do not watch this version first.
Yeah.
It will make absolutely no sense. Like in one scene, and James Marsden's great in it. He's the big brother who's an abusive big... He's Chet. From,
Guy rest his soul.
From Weird Science. That'd be Bill Paxton, right?
Yes.
Who we're talking about. He's a Chet character, and there's a scene where he comes home and he sees his car's missing because they take his charger or whatever it was, and he beats the crap out of the garage door, and it's a funny scene. But in the unarranged version, they show... For no reason, and they don't let you know, they show like every single take in a row that they would have done of him beating up the garage, and eventually to where he goes to kick it and misses it, and the director comes in, they're all laughing, and then they just go to the next scene and don't let. Like, this is the best unrated version ever.
That's great,
the director's cut's the best.
I watched a movie, I usually don't watch movies at home, I did it a couple weeks ago. Robert Redford's last movie.
Oh, the Old Man and the Gun?
Great movie.
Really good movie.
Yeah.
Sat here and watched it one day on like a Sunday afternoon.
Yep, that's exactly what I did too.
Well worth it.
Yeah,
well
absolutely. It. Check it out.
Charismatic son of a bitch at Robert Redford.
God damn, sexy son of a bitch.
God, he really is. Even in his old age, he's still just, you can't turn away from him when he's on the screen.
Is Sneakers the most underrated movie of all time?
Sneakers not Sneakers, right? It was Sneakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn good movie.
Yeah.
My friend of the show, been on the show, Big D. He loves that movie. That was one of his favorite movies for the longest time.
Yeah.
That was really pre-internet, like, computer, hacker movie, and just worked.
It worked really good.
And,
like, one of the only movies where Dan Aykroyd's likable in the last 30 years.
He's very likable. Ben Kingsley's the bad guy.
Great bad guy. Yeah.
Who else is in that? There's a couple of good people in that. Gabriel Byrne, right? Or is it... No, it's not Gabriel Byrne. Who's the... he's the star. It is. I think it is. There is like a... There's a military guy in it with him that's... I mean... Also, the kid in it. There's another good. There's a kid in it that's a good. That's a big actor or was at one time.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah.
Stall for time.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's good. You know what I was confusing it with when you said sneakers? What's that one with Brad Pitt and Jason Patrick where they're in the school when they're kids and they get raped by Kevin Bacon? Sleepers. Yeah, I was confusing.
Where Robert De Niro does the big reveal where it's like, because I had the ticket to the baseball.
Well, back in the day, that's all you needed. I have the ticket still right here.
Oh, that makes me sad. You know who the young kid is?
It's River Phoenix, right?
Correct.
I thought so. I didn't want to say for sure until I knew.
And nobody ages like a fine wine, more like Sidney Poitier.
That's who I don't know why I was thinking Gabriel Byrne, but Sidney Poitier. Yeah, he was the...
Yeah, one's a white Irish guy, there was a black dude.
But he was the gun-toting member of the clan there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Well, best luck to you, Robert Redford. I know you're a big fan of the show.
4.5 out of 5 on that show, that movie, I think. I think it's a really good movie. Or at least 4. Good solid 4.
I'd say 4.
On that Old Man and the Gun. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
It was very enjoyable.
I feel like I've watched some other movies and some stuff of late, but we haven't really... I mean, it's been such chaos, we haven't really talked about it, so I don't know.
Sure.
Soccer season's about to start back up for our daughter, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I have Johnny Bananas for soccer practice next Wednesday night.
Hayden's is tomorrow night.
Okay.
First of the season.
Okay, and what's the first game?
I don't know. The schedule comes out Friday.
Okay, and so, doing the select thing?
She's premier. Yeah, she's premier level. She's a club at premier. We have an out-of-town tournament the 4th. I just booked our hotels for that.
September 4th?
October 4th. Yeah.
Where are you going?
Kansas City. They got a big soccer complex over there in Shawnee Mission and Oakland Park and all that stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You stay at the Great Wolf Lodge?
No. God, no. No.
Yeah, you're smart, man.
Yeah, we have before, though.
It was fine.
Yeah. The water park was not good enough that it warranted a staying for two nights, 3 days.
Yeah, a little bit of Hoosier soup.
Just getting there early on your first day and just staying one night, perfect.
We did the 2 nights. That was good. If you stay more than 2 nights, you're probably crazy.
Yeah, you need to get a life.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of people listen to this. I'm sure the Kansas City people, though, but not too far from the Great Wolf Lodge. They're in Kansas, side of Kansas City.
Yeah.
You can see Schlitterbahn Water Park. If you don't know what Schlitterbahn Water Park is, or I might be mispronouncing it, but that's where the kid got almost decapitated and killed him.
I think he did get decapitated.
Yeah, I think his head was still hanging. But the brilliant design. If you don't know, they had this, I'm using hand gestures, it doesn't work, but a very steep slide that you roll, there was some kind of like a canoe or something you rode in, and then it come back up, and there was a jump. And they were so worried about the getting so much speed that the jump might leave the tracks that they put a railing and a fencing over the jump. So the kid, instead of going off the track, he just went up into the fencing and broke his neck and almost took his head off and killed him. So that park is not open, but all of the structures are still there. And that big death ride, you'd think they would have tore it down, still there.
Be a good haunted house now.
Yeah. I mean, I just think, as a, what kind of gives me a little bit of chills, puts the old goose pimples and the duck bubbles on my arm, is I probably would have rode that ride as a kid. Like, I would have saw it and be like, oh, we're doing that.
Yeah, but, did he meet their weight requirement?
Fuck if I know. Do you think I would have paid attention to that as a kid either?
Well, I gotta tell you, I think I talked about in the episode, the last episode that was cut, when I was at Great Wolf Lodge, I went down on a ride with Johnny Bananas, and he fell off of it. And I had to fucking grab his arm. I went to, like...
superhero dad.
Like, you know, Liam Neeson taken mood. Like, we got a fucking survival mode. Scarred him for life, which is fine, because water parks are Hoosier soup.
I enjoy water parks. Well, and I'll tell you why I enjoy water parks still. Well, first off...
Because you got tats?
I like the water. Yeah, I like the water, one. But, like, so we went
you
to...
You like the water that's probably been 90% bleach.
So we went to Six Flags for... My oldest daughter turned 14 a couple weeks ago. So I took just... I come home, come back from Lake of the Ozarks Friday, got back in town right at 11, said, hey, it's your birthday weekend. Rounded up her friend, Hayden and a friend, said, I'm going to take you to Six Flags.
And did you go for Six Flags or did you go for Hurricane Harbor?
Well, we went for Six Flags because none of my fucking kids would go to Hurricane Harbor. I can ride maybe 2 rides in Six Flags, 1 for my height and 2 for my back. But I can ride every ride in Hurricane Harbor. That's why I like Hurricane Harbor.
Are you too tall for some rides? Seriously?
Yeah, I can't. It's very... put it this way.
Like, will they tell you, like, no, sir?
No, they'll stand up and latch it down on me. They'll, like, get their weight to latch it. Doesn't make me feel safe. Yeah, it doesn't make me feel safe. Yeah.
And some of it is more of less of a safety thing and more of just a complete discomfort. Like some of the roller coasters, my legs won't fit in very well.
Shit, I remember being on the Ninja like 25 years ago and like feeling completely uncomfortable. And I was 4'8".
By the way, I don't know if it still exists, but Magic Mountain, one of the greatest rides ever down there in Disney World.
I assume it's still there.
You know, it's an indoor roller coaster is essentially all it is.
Whoa, you're thinking of Space Mountain.
Space Mountain, yeah. Sorry, not Magic Mountain.
Magic Mountain's...
Space Mountain.
Magic Mountain's like a kind of weed, probably.
It could be, yeah. Which, probably a great ride also.
I would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I would try it.
Space Mountain, though, scariest ride I ever rode for one reason. I'm in college, or I'm graduated high school. It's our senior trip. I'm already at this point in my life 6'6". There's a sign that says, you must be below 6'8 to ride this ride. And I asked the dude, I go, what's that all about? And he looked at me, he goes, just don't raise your arms, man.
Oh, shit.
So when you go around some of those curves and you can see it, you're like, holy fuck, I might lose elbow up if I throw my hands
in
the air.
That's hilarious. So my Space Mountain story, I went when I was in fourth grade. And we were, it's pre-internet, family trip to Disney World. And so we're like, oh, Space Mountain, what's this? We get in line. And me, my sister and brother are in first grade and kindergarten, my parents. We get to the line, it's like, yeah, these two clearly can't go on it. So then we're like, oh, I guess. And so I'm like, oh, this is cool. Only me and my dad get to go on it. We had no idea it was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
No idea. And I'm like, my dad, I remember like holding my shoulders down as I'm like bouncing up and down this ride. I was loving it. He was like.
Well, it's funny you say that though, because this 96 is when I went. And you would think by the 90s we got our shit worked out as a society in terms of safety.
Yeah.
But Twilight Zone Tower of Terror was still open and still to this day one of my favorite rides ever.
Is it closed down or something?
I think it's changed names and they've changed the whole gimmick of it. Yeah, it was a couple years ago they finally it was the last year of it.
Okay, that does sound familiar. Yeah.
Well, so if you don't know how it's set up, you're in an elevator mining car is what you are, and you end up in an elevator shaft. Well, it's two or three rows of seats. And they're like five person per row with the stairwell in the middle to walk to the back rows. And, because they're staggered like a theater seating, seating.
Yeah.
Well, because they thought they could get like an extra seat out of it, you got your hydraulic bars that come over. Well, they put one seat dead center in the back row that was a seatbelt. So as rising freshmen in college and exiting seniors in high school, our goal was to get that seatbelt because what we'd do is set it just a seatbelt, nothing else.
Uh-huh.
We'd set in a seatbelt and we'd loosen that fucker as far as we could. So you'd have like a foot gap when you would be floating coming down. It since took it away because that's the dumbest idea in the world. Absolutely blast though. I got to do it once and I was like, we literally were knocking each other over to try to get to it. Also, the most scared I've ever seen a human in my life on a ride. One of my best friends, Kevin, tough guy, police officer now, legitimately a tough guy. We had a friend named Bone Daddy, that's what we'll call him to protect the names, and a friend named, we'll call the other one Fu Manchu, because was the nickname of him. Two large guys.
Yeah.
My friend Kevin, 5'9", slim. They sat down on the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, and the bar comes down and goes click, and there's like 19 inches of gap between Kevin and the bar because he's in the middle of these two fat guys.
Yeah.
And he looks over, he goes, Jeremy, what do I do? And I go, I don't know, man. We're moving. He's like, it just instantly gets pale. And he wraps his arms around the bar because he's floating up off the bar.
Yeah.
He dropped. He was, in fact, the second most scared I've ever seen him, or maybe even more scared, is the time we left the theater after the Blair Witch Project and the internet was not so prevalent
right
that he had heard that it was fake. He still thought it was 100% real. So we left the theater and he was almost throwing up because ghosts were real.
Oh Jesus.
And no substances whatsoever, no drugs or anything. He was just, and I go, what are you worked up? He goes, how are you not fucked up, man? And I go, well, all these are actors. He goes, what? And I go, yeah, they're still alive. They've been in commercials. I mean, bullshit. He legitimately was mad. He was like, he went from thinking this was the greatest documentary and scariest thing in the history of the world to being gravely disappointed.
I've been bamboozled.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
I'm a complete idiot.
Why are these people still alive? Terrible.
Yeah. I would have been happier had they been dead. good stuff. So, anyway. I'm glad we got into the theme parks, though.
Yeah, I mean,
we probably, one thing we haven't covered in this show is theme parks.
No.
I don't believe that. I believe we've probably covered it.
What's the best theme park you've ever been to?
Best theme park? Disney World. Or no, Universal was Disney. Yeah, Disney World still beats Universal. Universal was very fulfilling for me because of the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah.
But as a whole, Disney World, I mean, it's the Magic Kingdom, man. It's the happiest place on earth.
You know, I liked in that. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Disney World was a lot of fun, too. I remember really having a good time at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg.
You know, when I was a kid, you always had that friend that went to Busch Gardens. Well, you were that friend. They always talked about how awesome it was.
Yeah, well, there's two. There's the Williamsburg one. There's the Tampa one.
Whichever.
And they're both pretty cool. I mean.
Yeah, as an adult, I just don't think of Busch Gardens still as. I don't even think they're around, are they?
The parks are still around. They're not owned by AB.
That was
anymore.
One of the
AB
first things they sold. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Grant's Farm. They sold Grant's Farm.
Yeah, Grant's Farm is owned by the Bushes.
So InBev sold it to them. Maybe.
I think the deal is it.
Maybe, you don't get free beer anymore there.
I think the company still owns it, but I think they lease it to the Bush family. Mm. I think that's how that works.
They're closing the Craftig, those Bushes. Augie Bush the third or whatever. He's closed.
That was Billy.
Billy, yeah. Closing Craftig.
And Dolphins, yeah.
I can't say where or how, but I may have heard that was happening from a source that may be close to Billy Bush about a month before it was announced. And I also may have heard that it's equal parts, the brand's not doing great, and there was a desire and soon-to-be-opened bourbon distillery from Billy Bush here in the St. Louis area.
Well, they're trying to build that. He's bought land out in Defiance.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, his business plan was stupid. He was trying to be a macro beer in a micro world. So, hey, you talk, and then we'll go
dumb
to my
label.
Point. Yeah.
Bad taste. And overall, just shitty marketing.
Did you think it was that bad, though?
I did not like it. I thought the light was better than the regular, but I just didn't like it.
I mean, it was.
I would drink a Bud Light over it.
Oh, for sure.
So he was a victim of his family's own success.
The reason they were created in the first place was to go after people who were pissed off about the purchase InBev, of InBev, yeah. Which was 10 years ago.
And then they were trying.
I used to work there, people. I got laid off. I still drink Bud products now. It took a couple of years.
If I'm mowing the lawn or in the swimming pool, there's a good chance it's Bud Light that I'm drinking.
So can we go into this?
Yeah. Well, I will say this. To your point, though, you said that they were trying to target the craft world.
Yeah.
And that was the whole Ryan Hoskabot, the original beer recipe.
Right.
They were sticking to it, which I even asked an employee of Craftig. I said, if it's the original recipe, then you don't alter it. And how can you have a light version of it?
Right.
And he was like, well, it's just a light version of it. I go, well, then it's not the original beer recipe. You are altering it. It's just dumb. But anyway.
So have you seen the list from Darren Rovell of the top, looks like, 20 beers in the country right now?
I have not.
Okay. So the big reason this list got released is Michelob Ultra.
Let people know who Darren Rovell is.
I have no fucking idea.
Me either. But you said it like I should. So I was going along with it. So yeah, I wanted you to correct our audience. Yeah.
No, I'm assuming he's a beer insider, but he tweeted out that Michelob Ultra passed Miller Lite as the number 3 beer in the country.
Sad world we're in. That's a bad beer. That was so in the Lake of the Ozarks, we had it.
Is it a bad beer?
It's very bad beer because when I...
Well, I mean...
Well, from a perspective, from my perspective, it's awful because I want to taste the beer. And that tastes a half step above water to me.
Well, here's my thing. I mean...
If I'm on the lake, I can't separate it in the lake water.
Look, I can't think of the last time I've had an Ultra. I mean, for me
it was 2 weeks ago.
But can you drink it?
I drank one and then when we got back on the boat, they restocked our coolers, and I was like, oh, thank God, Bud Light again.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's drinkable.
Oh, yeah, it's not disgusting. It's not, like, vomit-inducing,
right,
but it's just not in... I mean, there's... I don't even get the enjoyment of, hey, I'm having a beer out of it.
I hear what you're saying, yeah. So it's going to lead into a few conversations here, but I saw a lot of people on Twitter, like, complaining about, like, this is why this country's all fucked up, because look at all these shitty beer choices. Look, the reason these macros are so popular is because people in this country aren't making a living wage.
Yeah.
So that's why you're seeing
Well, it's a combination of the price of them and the fact that the reason macros are so popular because... Not everybody has a palate that's conducive to craft.
Yeah.
So they're the most broad, across the board accepted taste they could come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Let's play a little game.
All right. So it passed, Ultra passed Miller. All right. And I
see. Number three over four. So you have the three out of four. Here's the game, real quick.
Okay.
How many of the top 10 can you name right now?
Bud Light's number one.
Correct.
I guess that makes Budweiser number two?
No, Budweiser. I will. If you name the beer, I'll tell you what it is. It'd be fair for the game time purposes. So
I'm going to say Budweiser.
Budweiser is seven now.
Okay, so we got Budweiser seven. We got Miller Light. We got Coors Light.
Number two, yep. So you've got the first.
Wow, number two.
You got the top four.
Michelob Ultra was there.
And I lied to you, Budweiser six.
Okay, Budweiser six. Michelob Ultra was three now. Miller Light four. That means I've got a five in there, which.
I think I'm going to tell you five because I don't think you'll ever get it.
Is it PBR?
No.
Is PBR on the list?
PBR is, looks like 19th.
Oh, okay. Eh, good for them. Okay, give me number five.
Modelo.
Oh, good for them. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so then you got Budweiser, and then think of the same kind of thing.
Then you got Pacifico? Or, no.
More popular.
Corona.
Yep.
Yeah, Corona. Is Corona Light or just Corona?
Corona.
Okay. So that's seven or eight right there, right?
Corona seven.
Okay. So
then think colleges. Next two are colleges.
Oh, Nat Light?
Nat Light, yep.
And then and then Milwaukee's Best.
Not on the top 20, but kind of around there.
Okay.
Same mindset.
So we have eight. So we have two left in the top 10. So I'm kind of blanking.
They have an awesome marketing campaign going on right now.
Awesome marketing. Oh, man, I don't know what the campaigns are.
Yeah, you may not have seen it yet.
Yeah, I don't
know. And I retweeted on my Twitter handles for those of you following Hummeltown.
Oh, I follow you, but I didn't look at it. I didn't see it. So I don't know.
Bush Lattes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forget about Bush. Yeah, Bush Light. So,
and then number 10, I don't understand this one at all, but Heineken.
Oh, yeah. I drank a lot of Heineken in college.
So then moving down the list, you got Bush, Keystone.
Oh, Keystone's a good one.
The High Life, Stella.
Champagne of beers.
And dudes. Dos Equis.
Stella Artois Dos Equis is one of my favorite Mexican beers.
Mm-hmm. Bud Ice.
Ooh, that's a malt liquor.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe they still make that.
I know, right?
Mm.
Then Yingling, Pabst, and then Blue Moon.
Well, give it up for Yingling. I mean, that's borderline. I know it's not craft, but it's close.
So but here's what the crazy part is.
Real quick, it's weird that Yingling is on the list and they're not sold past the Illinois. Like, they just barely get into Illinois.
Right, right.
So there's like two-thirds of the country don't have access to it. That's amazing.
I get where people say that it's overrated. I like it a lot, but
I think it's good. But I don't
fully believe in the factor. I think it's good because I can't have it.
Yeah, just the same way with Spotted Cow. Everybody from New Glarus loves Spotted Cow, and I got to tell you what. And this is a hot take for all of our beer drinking. Spotted Cow is not a great beer. It's a below average beer.
It's fine.
Yeah, at best.
So looking at these stats, what I find interesting is if you take those 20 beers or whatever how many it was, they're only up 2.8% from last year.
Yeah.
Almost all these beers have negative growth.
Wow.
So, with the exception of Michelob Ultra, 14.8, which is interesting.
A lot of people watching their diets.
Yeah, and I guess this is why some...
When Missy was on keto, she would drink Michelob Ultra.
It's fine. And then you have the Modelo, 18.9, so maybe
Missy loves Modelo.
So maybe this is what's going on, is maybe Anheuser-Busch wants to build that wall. Keep the Modelo down.
That is exactly what's going on.
But, you know, a lot of people are taking some hot takes. A lot of these are negative growth. They're negative growth because people are still buying the micros.
Yeah.
The micro growth is going really well.
Yeah,
so, like,
I think if you add up all the micro beers in the country, that equals about half the beer sales now. And that doesn't...
No.
Is it not that bad?
No. The last I heard, it was maybe 10%.
Is that really? Well, it's an unbelievable thing.
So put it this way. So Bud Light sales alone last year?
Yeah, it's the king of beers.
$5.2 billion.
Oh, that's massive. That's massive.
It would be interesting to see what macros would be on here combined.
We got to think Sam Adams is the only ones that even cross the list. Because part of being a micro is that you only make X amount of barrels a year.
Yeah. I would...
And they push the envelope. They're the ones that set that number every year.
Right, right. It's a good question. I bet I think the micros are probably 10% of total beer sales, was the last I heard, but I'm not an expert, but anyway. You
their rate of growth is definitely bigger than the big boys.
Oh, their growth is huge. Yeah.
So she said.
Hey, now.
What was I going to say? I had a beer thought before
what
we got.
What else you got?
I don't know that I have anything else.
Oh, I got stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, go get into it,
so,
man.
So, other news today, which is kind of sad for people our age. Pizza Hut announcing they're closing 500 restaurants.
Wow. I wonder if the one down the road's getting it.
I
also may have a deadbeat brother-in-law that works and delivers for Pizza Hut.
Well, that's what they said, is that they want to focus more on just deliveries and being like a Domino's where, and Papa John's where you're not
eating. That's weird because Domino's added this past year the seating, so you could eat in if you want. Odd.
I said on this very podcast when I had a show for work about 3 months ago that Domino's as a franchise is by far the most profitable franchise, or at least as far as growth goes in the country right now.
Wow.
Once they changed that recipe up,
they filled in the potholes.
Yeah.
They had enough money to go fill in potholes. They give you pizza insurance, delivery insurance. Also, when you were a kid, though.
But where do you fall? Do you fall that Domino's is the best chain pizza?
Oh, yeah. I always get it, and we add extra sauce.
Gotcha.
And then it's great pizza.
Okay. So you were going to ask me.
You were a kid, though, I don't know if you had this, but going to Pizza Hut and eating was one of the coolest experiences.
And that's where I was getting at.
There was always one or two stand-up arcades.
Yeah.
The buffet, if it was open, it was a treat. If not, then you still just ordered the pizza. And I know better than this, but it's hard to tell my nostalgia side of my brain that there was a better pizza than that pizza as a kid. Godfather's. It was Pizza Hut and Godfather's. That was hand in hand.
And Godfather's is more kind of a southern Missouri deal, I didn't have it so much later in life. But, yeah, no, when my grandparents would watch me and my brother and my sister, like, they asked us where we wanted to go. We wanted to go to the Pizza Hut on fucking Teson Ferry.
In 80s movies, they were always at a Pizza Hut if they were having pizza.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just kind of sad. I mean,
500's a lot. That's a chunk of stores.
But I can count on one hand how many times I've had Pizza Hut in the last 10 years, probably.
Oh, my girls have flip-flopped here and there what pizzas they like. And so with the pool life we have in the subdivision, we would get Pizza Hut delivered. And then there was a Domino's phase. Now they're on, like, a Papa John's kick.
Okay. Nobody out Pizza Hut. I feel like every time I had Pizza Hut, like, I fucking went through me. Samurai sword.
I gotta tell you what. I know this may be this hot take. I don't know if it is or not. Fucking for $5, Little Caesars is a pretty damn good pizza.
Oh, pizza. You can't beat a little $5 hot and ready.
Enjoyable piece of pizza.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. And the crazy bread. Love it.
So, also in the Tommy Talks About Entertainment shit, the 90210 premiere tonight.
I believe.
The reviews have been the most polarizing, interesting reviews I've ever seen of a TV show.
First off, I believe it's BH90210. They're really, really selling that BH90210 thing.
Have you read what the premise is?
It's a mockumentary.
But not?
Yeah.
So, I guess the best way I heard it described was the Seinfeld season of Curb.
Oh, yeah.
But, so it's real characters trying to get a real show back on. But then, fictional stuff, some of the people we know, have not their real spouses, acting as their spouses.
Yeah.
I've just heard it's bizarre. But not in a bad way.
So, Tori Spelling and the other blonde, what's her name in real life?
Jenny Garth.
They were on yesterday or today, Hello New York or Good Morning New York.
They weren't on today.
Yeah,
they were on a show.
They were on Today's Show also, but it was they were on a regional morning talk show called Good Morning New York.
Yesterday,
and the host
Hoda got so drunk she had to go away.
Hoda's been gone for a while.
Well, she had a baby.
She adopted another baby. But no,
if she adopts a baby, is that baby already a wino?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I bet that's kind of. I think Hoda's the Mike Shannon thing where everybody thinks she's a drunk, but she's probably really not.
And man, she's like number two chair. You know, on the show when she's there. But no, with Tori Spelling having all these issues financially where she couldn't have, she owed a bank $215,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
The woman asked her on there said, so you know, the media's been really on you on your financial troubles and stuff now. And she goes, yeah, they have. We even kind of put it in the show a little bit. And she goes, so are you able to pay your bills?
Oh, shit.
And she goes, and even Jenny Garth, who's just kind of like a bystander in this whole thing, she's like, did she just, And she goes, am I able to pay? And then, you know, Tori Spelling goes, yeah, I'm able to pay my bills. And she goes, well, I mean, I'm sure the money from this show will help, right? I mean, your pay's got to be good enough to help. And Jenny Garth goes, is this really happening? Like, and Tori Spelling, to her credit, and she's kind of been a whipping post, even some butt of my jokes over the years. She goes, maybe we'll write this scene in the next season.
Yeah.
Like, this is weird.
Yeah, Tori Spelling's an interesting person.
Yeah. By all estimation, an heiress to a TV throne. And just dumb.
Isn't Aaron dead?
Yeah, but he was so powerful with so many shows. Even before.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was not Merv Griffin or anything, but he was pretty powerful in the late 80s, 90s.
Was there something weird with his inheritance?
Who knows? He said, my daughter's face is weird looking, so I can't leave everybody. Hey, Jenny Garth. Hey, Tori Spelling. Why the long face?
Oh, jeez.
What are you sad for? many people forget, too, she was the nerdy girlfriend to Screech Powers, too.
That is factually correct, yeah.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, you got that. And then, real quick, hey, how about these Los Angeles, Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders? Have you heard about Mr. Antonio Brown?
Frostbite.
Yes.
Extreme frostbite. I haven't clicked it. I'm not falling for it. Is it real?
Yeah.
Why? How?
He went to get, was it?
Cryotherapy?
Yes. On his foot. He didn't wear the proper footwear.
Dumbass.
And he thought that they were blisters, and then the doctor's like, no, you have frostbite.
Interesting that you said that, because a few weeks back, he posted a video where he was doing this training to where he had a brick, and he had to slap the hands of the trainer behind him and alternate while dropping the brick and not letting it hit. So he was, you know, he was doing this kind of like, you know, how people hand the medicine ball off back to back. It was kind of like that, except he was dropping a brick and catching it and not letting it hit. And he's working out and he's working up a sweat. And I posted the video because I have a friend who's a huge Steelers fan and said, hey, you know, see if he's going to miss this in Pittsburgh next year. And another friend of mine goes, odd that he's working out in $3,000 Gucci sandals. Like, so improper footwear right up that dumbass's alley.
Yeah. It's very weird that, like, when all that Steeler rumbling happened, I think people at first were like, okay, because it sounded like it was Ben Roethlisberger was a complete douchebag, and he has a track record of being a complete douchebag. But then when Bell left, and then Brown left, and then you start to see kind of a little bit more about these guys.
And the teams like, were. And one thing you never heard was a complaint from the team.
No.
Not one.
And you have, you know, Juju, who's like happy as can be. And
yeah, even tried to take the high road and then got shit on by Brown.
Yeah.
And then Juju's like, well, fuck you then, dude.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, of course, it's not hard to take the high road in a battle against
what we're trying to tell you people here who do a little fantasy football, don't draft Antonio Brown. He's going to be shitty this year.
His streak is going to be snapped. He's got that, what is it, 1,100-yard, 80 catches, 1,100-yard streak.
And 10 touchdowns maybe, too?
Yeah, and not happening. Somebody asked me, it was Le'Veon Bell. Somebody said, what are you going to get out? How many yards do you think Le'Veon Bell is going to get this year? I said, 836 and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that would be – they paid for it.
Yeah.
I mean, who's around him? Who's around Brown in New York – or in Oakland that's going to – or Las Vegas that's going to take up some of the traffic and take up some of the coverage? I mean
– I can't even name
– and is David Carr going to be able to get him the ball?
He's okay.
He's not liked by his own coach.
Yeah.
I mean,
shit show.
I haven't watched it yet, but I have the first episode of Hard Knocks recorded.
DVR'd
up there. I heard that
not interesting.
Antonio Brown's kid said, where's Ben?
Yeah, it's great.
Well.
Are we doing the Fantasy Football League again for you?
Yes. In fact, somebody emailed me today and said, are you going to start it back up? And I said, I am. I just forgot to get around to it. And then I just looked emails about 2-3 hours ago, and Yahoo automatically renewed it. So I'm going to send those.
It's amazing how far Yahoo has come. When it
comes
to, like, in my league that we've had for 15 years, my family league, we've always been able to trade draft picks. And now that's all, like, taken care of in Yahoo.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have to, like, manually remember that. Now it's, like, all taken care of.
They got it.
It's pretty impressive.
So we'll do it. Yeah, I'll get that up, and we'll try to pick a date probably coming up here in the next 3 to 4 weeks to draft.
Sounds good.
We'll meet at Hooters because it's historically where we've always been.
Oh, we're going to do a live draft this year.
Well, the people in town, we did that last year too. You were busy and Bender was busy.
Okay.
And then,
I remember being in a drive-thru at like Taco Bell starting the draft.
Me and Jason, Bender's cousin, my friend, we did it. We've gotten together 2 years in a row and done it. And okay. 1 year Bender was there, 1 year he wasn't. I mean, there's always a Benderism going on.
There is always a Bender story.
But we'll get it done. We'll get it done. It'll be exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Fantasy football, especially in the beginning, is one of the best times in the world. You know, fantasy football drafting is one of the most entertaining things to do.
It really is.
When you have people. So
yeah, live drafts are always better.
Well, I do know this. What else did you bring to the table? We'll do a throw it to Missy segment for some quick hits.
I think I covered everything I brought. Let me take a look at my notes here. Just stall for time. Yep, that's all I got.
All right. Well, I don't know that I even have anything. I think I mushed some of my throw it to Missy stuff in there, like punching my wife in the face eventually. but I know you have a hard out tonight. So
I do have a hard out.
We're going to stick to it. So we'll go ahead and wrap up now because I have a battered, tired wife upstairs. So I might as well go and not make sweet loving, but offer some gentle caress to put her to sleep.
You know, in the words of Michael Bowling, maybe we want to try a little love and tenderness.
Just try a little love and tenderness. I can do that. In the meantime, though, how's the offseason going so far?
Well, hey, those St. Louis Blues technically still have every player left. From that, besides Pat Maroon, from that Stanley Cup winning team. So they're Joel Edmondson just locked up for 1 year, $3.1 million. So the last two players from that winning team, Ivan Barbashev and the sad part, kind of Pat Maroon, who's been kind of floating out in La La Land there. I feel a little bad for him.
Did he cash in? Is that what he did?
That's what he wanted to do. He's still a free agent.
Oh, I thought he signed with someone.
No.
Oh, well, then maybe there's a chance.
There is a chance, but the Blues don't have a lot of money to play with. They've only got about $2.5 million left to sign Barbashev and or Maroon.
Did Pat turn down an offer?
No. From what it sounds like, the rumor mill is he thought he was going to get a two-year, $2.5 to $3 million deal from somebody, and that deal never came, and so he's just kind of been floating out there.
Oh, well,
it's kind of sad for a guy who, you know, was an intricate part of bringing a cup home here.
It really was. I mean, he's the...
Now, there's a little controversy about Pat Maroon.
Oh, I want to hear that before we sign
off. A little rumor on the old rumor mill here.
The rumor on the rumor mill.
The rumor on the rumor mill. So,
from Redundant Press, there's a rumor on the rumor mill.
So, I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy.
And that guy knows
people. That guy told me that Pat Maroon was supposed to have his day of the cup, go to a lake house, go to a bar on the lake house, and then end the night in some South County bars in Oakville where he's from.
Well,
and apparently, in his entourage of 40 or 50 people that were partying with him all day, obviously people are drinking as they are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother was hitting on a woman he wasn't supposed to hit on.
Uh-oh.
And a gentleman took exception to that. And Pat Maroon's brother knocked his ass out fucking cold.
Pat Maroon knocked the guy out.
No, okay. Pat Maroon's brother, not Pat Maroon.
Yeah, his brother knocked the guy out.
Fucking out cold, and that was the end of the party. Mm. And they never made it to Oakville, and some people in Oakville were really upset because they wanted to party with the hometown hero, but day canceled.
Hmm. Did we talk about with you on here the Blues Vegas party that was cut short by the Stanley Cup getting pushed into the pool?
I can't remember if we talked about it or not. I mean, I saw the videos where it was the UFC guy, right?
No, it was worse. It was UFC guys, not that they're not tough, but it was heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, one of the heavyweight champions of the world. It was his entourage, who most likely was as big and mean as him, and Tyson Fury's giant.
Yeah.
And I guess the Blues were playing Gloria too much and all that stuff, and the guy was being, I mean, they were probably being belligerent, but it's acceptable belligerence because you're champs.
Yeah.
That happened to coincide, and the night before, Tyson Fury had just retained his title.
Yeah.
And so one of his entourage, they were kind of getting sick of it, and they pushed the guy, whichever player it was, I don't know what player
it was. I think it was Evanson or Bertuzzo.
Yeah. And the rumor mill says that the Blues players kind of got a little upset, and then kind of realized that no matter how tough they are, they were out of their element and kind of let it go. Because no matter, even if you're legendary tough man, and I use quotation marks because I don't get along with him well, Tony Twist.
Right.
you're getting your ass beat by Tyson Fury. Like, heavyweight, 6'8", heavyweight champ of the world, 48-0-1 Tyson Fury. I mean,
right.
You're in trouble.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And hockey's... Now, that happens 20 years ago. Blues players are fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
You're Kelly Chase and Tony Twist and Aaron... They're fighting. But these guys, I mean...
Well,
I don't know if the Blues got more than 12 fights all year.
Well, it would have been 20 years ago, you would have heard some good stories like, yeah, Tony clocked a guy or something. But 100% guaranteed the heavyweight champ would not have got involved because his entourage wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
Which would be the best thing in the world because no matter how tough any other athlete in the world thinks, they're not pro boxer tough.
Right.
They don't know how to throw the punch or take a punch like a pro boxer does.
Sure.
So that would have been ugly.
Yep.
But you know what? All things worked out, and hopefully all those guys come back. Even Maroon, I'll root for him to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather see the guy make his money at this point than come back and then we lose Barbashev.
Get a David Eckstein approach to it. I mean, David Eckstein, great player, serviceable player. I think probably, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, but he was probably maybe a little better of a player in his sport than Maroon is in his sport. Am I right there? Overall in his career.
That's a great question.
But Eckstein certainly did take his World Series MVP and cashed in on it.
No, he didn't.
He did sign a good contract when he left.
Didn't he? With who?
Yeah, he left St. Louis on a big, like, 3-year contract, and I don't even think he finished it.
Maybe. Because he came back in 07, right? And then he left?
No, he left right after the World Series win. He left.
Check your facts here.
I'm looking at it right
now. I thought he was back with 07 and then left.
Okay, he left. He did leave in 07. He ended his career in 07 for St. Louis. And then he became a free agent and signed he only signed a 1-year $4.5 million deal.
Yeah.
Then he tried with the Diamondbacks for 1 year, then the Padres 1 year, and then he was gone.
Yeah. His next time was, and same thing with Maroon. They were both on the wrong side of 30.
Mm-hmm.
And Maroon has the goal against the Stars. Eckstein was the MVP of that 2006 World Series, but, you know, looking back, I actually listened to something about this not too long ago where that was the World Series where after it ended, it's like, I have no idea who we're going to fucking give this to. Because Pujols didn't have a very good series. The two guys it was between, I believe, were Eckstein and Rolen.
Yep.
And Eckstein had that big hit in Game 4 that was fresh in everybody's mind.
Yeah, he started 1-for-11 in the series,
yeah.
But he finished 8-of-22.
Yeah, and that was kind of – because really the MVP of the series was the Tigers' bullpen for throwing the ball around like fucking little leaguers.
Tigers' bullpen, well, and even their outfield dropping two balls errors in this series, yeah.
Actually, you know who should have been the MVP of that series? Maybe Jeff Weaver.
Yeah, or even Tony La Russa. I mean,
well, that'll get
two straight World Series where he – manipulated the bullpen to an extreme that no one had seen before. So
hey, we have a special guest as we're wrapping up.
Yeah, the flop came down here. She doesn't have a mic because I didn't hook up three because I was being lazy. But you know what though, the flop is here. Let's have one
last cocktail off there.
Yeah. So say bye.
Hey, you know what? I paid my invoice. So even though I promised on this very show 9 months ago that there was no fucking way I was getting season tickets again. I'm back on board, baby.
You are the Mayor Quimby of our podcast, one of my favorite Simpsons even. I stand before you today and flip-flop.
Yes. So, hey, let's go, Blues!
And on that note, we play the music. Oh, I was going to bring up Kevin Smith, Silent Bob, and Jay and Silent Bob Roadshow. Me and this year, we bought tickets to go. We're going to go to the screen of the group. Yeah, Jay and Silent Bob.